Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen. Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Happy Friday to everybody, and welcome to another edition of Life's Issues. We're here today on a Friday afternoon, getting ready for the weekend, and sitting where I'm sitting here in New Jersey, we're getting ready for a major, another snowstorm for the winter of 2013-2014. So we just have to make do, I guess, because that's wintertime in the Northeast. But if you'd like to join us and have comments or questions that you'd like to ask my guest today, you can jump in at 347-989-1363. You can press 1. That'll tell my producer that you are wanting to ask a question. He will get you on the air, and we'll get your question answered for you. If you like us, you can look us up on Facebook at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to my personal page, which is Lloyd S. Rosen, and check us out there. If you'd like to email me a question off the air, you can go to bowler900@sbcglobal.net. And send your question to me. I'll be more than happy to get it, answer it, and get back to you. If you'd like to find out more about Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, you can go to lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com, and you can check me out there. You can read about my blogs. You can read about my life and a little story there. You can order my book that I have online there as well. But most importantly, you can register to be a guest on my show. At that site, you can listen to the show right there, or you can contact me to get back to you with anything you'd like to know. We are part of the Tough Talk Radio Network, so you can check us out at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the shows that we do have. My show is definitely not the only one. We have a lot of different hosts and a lot of different subjects that we do cover. And you can also download us on iTunes and listen to us whenever you want. You don't have to listen to us live. You can download us and listen to us whenever you'd like, and listen to us more than once if you'd like. If you find that you have a question or something, you can definitely go back and email me, and I'll take care of answering that question for you after you listen to me when we're off the air. As I was saying, we have a major snowstorm heading our way here in the New Jersey area. And I know my guest today is from L.A., so I guess she's sitting comfortably in front of 80-degree weather and enjoying this conversation. But just a little footnote about me. Most of you know that I've listened on a regular basis. I've been on since September. I have written one book called Search for Happiness, My Journey from Darkness into the Light. It is being reworked. It's being republished, and it should be out in hopefully in the month of March, and if you're interested in getting it, you can go to my site, Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, and get it from there once it's up and running. So hopefully you will, and it's a story basically about myself and growing up with depression and suicide and overcoming it, and telling you that you are able to overcome it and that you should want to overcome it, because once you're gone, you're gone. So I hope people don't go anywhere anytime soon. My first guest is a person with a common background with me. Just over 4 years ago, she hit emotional rock bottom, struggling with alcohol addiction, food issues, and suicidal depression, which is number one in my heart as far as overcoming. I felt like she said she felt like she tried everything possible to fix herself. Nothing worked. Today, though, she's found a consistent happiness, and she's turned it into a simple, practical method for others to change their own lives. We're going to be discussing that today with her. It is called 3x3 meditation. It's meditation done 3 minutes a day, three times a day, which has been the catalyst for her own transformation. It's helped her lose weight. It's helped her banish addiction cravings. to restructure relationships. It basically sounds to me like it's something that should have been created a long time ago for everybody, that they need, everybody needs it. But we're going to find out more about it as we welcome in Dina Proctor. Are you there, Dina?
I'm here, Lloyd. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So let's get right into it and say 3x3 Meditation is a story, not a story, it's a program that you created. And what is behind the story as far as how you created it?
That's such a great question. And I was listening to you tell your story, and I'm about to tell my story. And I want to remind people, like, hey, don't worry, we're getting to the solution here. This really is an uplifting show.
<You know?
laughs> Even though we've both kind of been to the depths, but it's all about, you know, coming out of that. And even for people listening in who might be like, you know, I never struggled with suicidal depression or addiction or whatever, like, this method has been effective for clients I've worked with who just want to lose weight, who want to have a healthier marriage, who want to increase their financial situation. So it's a lot broader and maybe less intense than I don't want anybody being scared. But anyway, let me answer your question. 3x3 meditation, meaning 3 minutes, 3 times a day, came out of really my struggle to save my own life. As you were sharing, I hit that emotional rock bottom, and I just came to a time where I didn't want to live anymore. I had spent, this was around age 32 when I was, you know, kind of planning the time to take my own life. And for all throughout my 20s, I just had this, like, inner black hole inside of myself. And, yes, I was classified as major depressive disorder. I went to therapy. I went to group therapy. I did medications, you know, different kind of antidepressant drugs. I changed everything in my outside world. I moved across the country. I constantly changed cities, changed jobs, upgraded my boyfriends. Like, I just was always on this search to fill this void that I felt inside of myself. I could tell that other people were happy or had this, like, sense of satisfaction or well-being in themselves that I didn't have, and I couldn't figure out what was missing. And I tried everything I could think of to fix it, and I was just such in a desperate, towards my later 20s, I discovered the magical elixir of alcohol. And that was the first thing that really, quote-unquote, worked to make me feel better, and I became heavily, heavily addicted to alcohol in a really short time period. And once I became so dependent on alcohol, that's when my concentration on my own moral character kind of went out the window. I found myself just not caring anymore. I was lying to people. I was stealing money. I was using people. I was waking up next to people that I had just met, you know, 3 or 4 hours ago. I was kind of a disaster as a human being, and that's what led me to want to extract out of the world, was just I couldn't stand who I was becoming. I didn't like who I was, and I felt like there was nothing good about it, about who I was, what I was doing. You know, I just reached that place of desperation. So getting to the solution part, I kind of unintentionally ended up in an addiction recovery program. And the woman who was coaching me through the program, her first instruction to me was to learn to meditate. And I remember looking at her just thinking, what the heck is that going to do? Like, that sounds like completely impractical. I have no idea what this floaty, wistful, sitting there focusing on my breathing thing is going to do for me. But I had tried everything else, so she talked me into trying it her way. So I agreed, you know, that next morning I set my timer like she told me to, and she said, just sit still, focus on your breathing for 20 minutes. So I set my timer for 20 minutes, but after less than a minute, 30 seconds after sitting down, I started to, because I was attempting to be quiet, all of these negative thoughts would just overcame me, and I had this intense craving for alcohol, and, you know, my body was in physical withdrawal from alcohol too at that time. It was just unbearable for me to sit there. My body started shaking. I started sweating. I was crawling out of my skin. So after about 3 minutes, I physically had to get up. Like, I just couldn't sit still any longer. But a couple hours later during the day, it nagged at me that I hadn't completed her whole 20 minutes. I thought, you know, let me try to see if I could sit for another couple minutes and try and get a few more minutes under my belt before she called me today and asked me if I did my homework. So that's what I did. Was every few hours, I would sit down, and I would max out at about the 3-minute mark. Even though I was trying for 20, I would max out about 3 minutes. And after about 8 weeks of this messy 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there situation, I had an experience which I can only classify as being in a higher state of consciousness. I was absolutely free of mind chatter, and that has never happened before then. And, you know, it happened a couple times since, but not as intensely as it did during this three-day period. I had no words in my head. I was intensely present in the moment. And when I was going about my day, even the people at work, the cashier at the grocery store, the major people with major roles in my life and people with minor roles in my life, it didn't matter who I interacted with, all I saw was this essence being, this like this love, this soul behind the physical person that I was interacting with. It was like I just felt so much love and connection with every living being, from my cat to even the trees outside to the people I was interacting with. And something about that experience in that higher consciousness state, that rewired, I really think something happened to me almost on a cellular basis. I just felt like I was rewired. And I realized while I was in that state that anything I wanted changed or fixed or healed or transformed or have a breakthrough in my physical world only needed to be done in this inner state of well-being. Once I got the inside right, everything on the outside would fall into place. And I had previously been doing it backwards. I was trying to fix everything on the outside so I'd feel better on the inside. But what I realized from being in that state was whenever I was trying to change myself, I was taking myself with me. So it's like I would just go from relationship to relationship. It was like the same guy in a different body. I just kept attracting the same circumstances and the same people, and it was never very satisfying. So going through that, and then I learned how to use, or I was kind of shown, I guess, from within. It's like the meditation practice showed me. It showed me how to break through and transform. I didn't necessarily intend it. I just stayed open to whatever was going to happen. And I ended up transforming my relationships. Like, people became different people around me. And it's not because I zapped them or tried to change them or had these hard, long conversations with them about it. It's I raised the vibe that I was exuding, and I started drawing a different reaction for people who had treated me a certain way for years and years, started treating me differently or showing me more respect because I became a person of self-confidence rather than a person of insecurity, and that's what I started to see. Mm-hmm. So this practice evolved into 3 minutes, but three times a day, and I think of it as not a practice of meditation that I'm kind of checking off my to-do list, you know, okay, I brushed my teeth, I went to the gym, I took a shower, I meditated, and now I'm done with that stuff. Like, for me, the meditation is a way of living. It's a perspective to live in the world, and that's how I use it today. I use it if I want to heal something about my body. I use my 3x3s to get into, you know, a pretty I don't want to say intense because that sounds intimidating, but a very highly focused state of visualizing and holding the space for a healing that I want to take place inside of my body or within a relationship or in create. Because, you know, the last couple of years I've been creating a business. I wrote a book and I'm coaching now and speaking now and have my own podcast radio show. So it's like I wanted to envision that because it was very intimidating to leave your day job to go into the unknown. But I held the vision for it, and then the physical reality came to match that. So there's nothing yet that I've tried to use my 3x3s on that it hasn't worked for. So it's another tool in the toolbox. You know, like if I was able to follow instructions, 3x3 meditation wouldn't exist. So I don't think it's the be-all, end-all solution of all programs. But I think that it's extremely powerful for me and the people it resonates with. And it's just another tool in the toolbox for people who are looking for maybe a new method or a new modality to be able to increase transformation in their own lives.
Right. I'm sitting here listening to you tell your story, and it's like my story is coming out of your mouth.
I know.
Because I grew up in New Jersey, moved to Seattle after 3 years of being in Seattle, 6 years being in Seattle, I moved back to New York. Then I came back here and realized it wasn't for me, so I went back to Seattle. I was divorced from my first wife because of my depression. It's just an interesting, and what's interesting is you were saying you got healthy and you started looking at people differently. I got healthy and I started looking at people differently, and I wonder if, I know in my situation, I had divine intervention. I had God on my side. I have him on my side today. He goes with me wherever I go. I know I'm protected. Is that something that you came to understand as far as your health was concerned, was that another avenue was actually helping you get to the point that he wanted you to be at?
Yeah, I completely understand your question. And I think of it, I think of God more as kind of the force from Star Wars rather than an exterior being. But I grew up Catholic, so I understand that terminology too. I really do believe, you know, understanding God for me is as simple as looking at my own body. I didn't design my body. I know a little bit about maybe how I'm breathing in air and my lungs are performing respiration and able to exhale. Like, but all of those processes take care of themselves. There's an innate intelligence that's already there. You know, when I feel hunger or tiredness or the urge to stretch my muscles or go for a run, that is coming from a higher intelligence than just my own being. So
exactly.
To me, yeah, and it's not just limited to my, you know, the needs to take care of my body. It's way more expansive than that. It's the voice of my intuition. It's the little urge that you get when you're driving down the road and something is telling you to slam on the brakes and you didn't see the little kid coming, but thank God you slammed on the brakes because you just saved somebody's life. You don't even know where that signal came from, but I believe that that intuitive voice, that voice of intuition, most of us have had a synchronicity or a weird little hunch or something that we've followed and it's ended up working out. But to most of us, that's like a fluke, or it's not, we can't base our lives on it because it happens once every 3 months or once every 10 years. It seems elusive. For me, that's what I got in touch with when I was in that state of higher consciousness. Like, if that wasn't oneness with God, I don't know what is. So for me, it's like I turn my need to get anything done or my attachment to what I have in the material world, whether it's a relationship or a car or a healthy body, anything in the physical world will come to match how well-connected or disconnected I am from that inner, I call it my innermost source of power, peace, and freedom, you know, that inner wisdom that's inside of myself. So instead of my intuitive voice being something elusive that just happens every once in a while or when I'm in a moment of crisis or when I happen to be feeling super connected, I cultivate that relationship, and I don't take any action or make any decisions in my life without accessing that resource first. So people say, like, God's will, my will, and that's, I understand that language because for me, it's like I want to be where my message is going to serve the best people. If that means going to India, going to Africa, living among the poor, I am totally up for that. If my intuition were to indicate to me to do it, I'd book a plane ticket today. If my intuition indicates to me, you know, stay in this first world country and work with people here and don't be afraid of abundance, I'm totally up for that too. It's like I don't have attachment to how it shows itself in the world. My only priority is to be the expression, like the best expression in my physical form of my innermost kind of source. So
I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do. I totally do. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're gonna we're up against our first break for the day, and I want you, Dina, if you would please give my listeners information as to where they can find you and get your book and get information on 3x3.
Oh, sure. Everything's available right on one website. It's madlychasingpeace.com.
That's simple.
Very simple.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease a home? Whether you are ready to complete your first transaction or you are a seasoned investor, Imagine Realty has qualified realtors ready to help you fulfill your real estate needs. Imagine Realty International is a boutique brokerage that specializes in customer service. We market properties from all over the world to people all over the world. Visit us on the web at ImagineRealtyInternational.com or call our office at 832-444-2363. Imagine Realty International, making dreams come true.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to this Friday afternoon's edition of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. We're here today with author Dina Proctor. She's also the creator of a practice called 3x3 meditation, done three times a day. And we were talking about what it was that causes you to practice this meditation. I'd like to ask you, Dina, how long does one have to do this to see results?
Oh, it's a perfect question. I really think it's great because it grounds it in practical reality. Meditation for me is really practical. It's as important to nourish my soul as it is to nourish my body. And so 3x a day for both makes sense to me. I always instruct people, take the meditation 7 days at a time. And at the end of every 7 days, for people that play full out with it, I've seen I don't know of a single time where people haven't had a shift. And that doesn't mean if you want to lose 100 pounds that you're going to lose 100 pounds in 7 days, but it means that you will reach the next rung on the ladder or increase that temperature on the thermometer by a couple of degrees. Like, you'll have a noticeable improvement in the way that you're looking at life or the way that you're dealing with the issue. There will be a shift in your mindset. Even if it's small, measurable and tangible for you to realize. Now, it takes, like, I've heard anywhere from 21, 28 days, something like that, to change a habit. So the way that I work the meditation is I'll hold a particular intention for 7 days. Because people listening in might be like, oh, great, I want to lose weight, I want to get a girlfriend, I want to make money, we've got like all these different intentions that look like New Year's resolutions. And so I encourage people, take it one intention at a time and hold that intention for 7 days. Then when the 7 days is up, usually with a single intention, especially if it's kind of a big one, like I want to transform my relationship with someone I'm close with or my spouse or my mom or whatever, it's going to take more than just 7 days to completely heal that entire issue, or if it's a body thing or, you know, financial thing, whatever. But when you do it for 7 days at a time and renew for another 7 days, you can increase what you're doing or change the focus a little bit because you'll have a new vantage point. As you spend 7 days immersed in the practice, after that 7 days, you might feel differently or say, oh my gosh, there's a new possibility I hadn't thought about. Let me consider that in my next 7 days. And it takes anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks for that new way of thinking to become like your new normal. So this way you don't have to spend your meditations on it anymore. It's already, because it's like you take the training wheels off, you already know how to drive the car, to drive the stick shift, you already know how to ride the bicycle without the training wheels. It's become your new normal, and you just know that you're on your way. Then after those 3 or 4 weeks, when you just know that you've got your sea legs, you're going with it, you can bring on a whole new intention in meditation and go through it for those few weeks with the training wheels on until you're ready to take them off in that issue.
So basically, you can actually change everything you want to change one step at a time or 1 week at a time, as you put it, 7 days, and change your whole life around if you want to.
Yeah, and if this is the right practice for you. You know, if this resonates and lights you up, it just might be the right practice for you to be able to implement transformation.
Right. Now, how can someone start the meditation practice?
Question. I'm glad you're asking this because I like to get into the meat of it and give some people really some tangible things to do with it. So for the first 7 days, now think about your mind as kind of a cup that's overflowing. Like, we probably have so much mind chatter in our heads right now, it's hard to sort out what's good, what's bad, do I even have to pick up the kids, what the heck time is it? Like, we're just a little bit messy inside of our mind. And so in order to introduce a new mindset pattern or a new way of living or a new habit, we need to kind of empty that old cup first. It's like if we have a garden where we want to plant new seeds to grow, but it's full of weeds right now, we got to weed it first, till the soil, and then be able to plant the new seeds. With that said, the first 7 days, I always advise people, all you want to do is learn how to quiet your mind. And for that, for something like quieting your mind, you can do something super simple. For example, some people, when they first start meditating, they are afraid to close their eyes. That's almost how I was in the very beginning. And so what I find really helpful is lighting a candle, and all you're doing is letting yourself get a little bit pulled in or mesmerized by that candle flame, maybe looking for shapes in the flame, maybe identifying with the calming presence of it or the heat coming from it, just letting yourself get lost in the essence of like a candle flame. Could be as simple as focusing on your breathing, is just spending those 3 minutes. And I always encourage people, set a timer. And, you know, you're not kind of peeking. You're only like half in the meditation and half like, wait a minute, has it been 1 minute? Wait, was that 3 minutes already? Wait, oh, you know. You're like, set a timer so that you can just put it to the side and trust that the bell will bring you out of it, immerse yourself in it fully. In addition to looking at the candle flame, you could focus on your breathing and do something really simple, as in, I'm, you know, like just knowing or feeling or even repeating a small mantra that's like, I inhale peace and presence and I exhale that which I no longer need. You know, you don't have to say I'm exhaling stress or negativity or anything like that. You can just let it be anything that you no longer need that you're releasing on the exhale. It'd be really simple to do in 3 minutes. You could all feel overwhelming, and it just feels like, oh, my gosh, just give me a task where I can distract myself because I'm so stressed out and I can't sit still. I say, how about setting your timer and just starting at 99 and counting backwards? And if you get distracted from that counting, 99, 98, oh, my gosh, I have to call that guy back. I can't forget to do that, and I forgot this and the work, and am I late and all that. Your mind starts going. Just catch it. And realize, oh, wait, I'm still in my meditation. Let me get back to my counting, 99, 98. And it doesn't matter how many times you have to start over in it. It's not about getting from 99 all the way down to 20 or whatever within the 3 minutes. It's not about that. It's actually becoming present, because the amount of times that you catch and interrupt it, look how many times your thoughts were thinking you and you didn't even realize it. And now you're putting a spotlight on that and catching it. It's like, wow. Look at how many times I was able to interrupt my thoughts. So that's a practice that it's not a failure when you notice and interrupt 150 thoughts. That's actually a good thing, because those 150 thoughts were busy running your subconscious mind in the background, and now you're bringing a present awareness to it. So for the first 7 days, and sometimes people extend it to 14 or even 21, the practice is just to weed the garden, learn how to quiet the mind, learn how to catch and interrupt thought, learn how to direct your focus to a small silent activity rather than keep in that old tornado mind spin that you've been caught up in all day.
Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of confused about asking another question or going to a break. Why don't we go to a break, give the audience your information one more time, and then we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And when we do come back from the break, I'm going to ask you to lead us in a meditation, if you can, now, so people can get an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay, I'd love it. I'd love it.
So go ahead and give your website one more time.
Oh, yeah. The website is madlychasingpeace.com.
Sounds good. We'll be right back after these words.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Friday and Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. We're here today with author Dina Proctor, who has created a meditation for you three times a day, 3 minutes a day. That's all it takes to help yourself become a better person from the inside out. Dina, let me just, before we get into giving an example of how to meditate, I just want to say that before we went to the break, I was a little bit tongue-tied there as far as whether to ask another question or, and that goes back to what you were just saying for the first half hour of the show. My mind is running about 100 miles an hour, thinking about 100 different things, and I can't slow it down enough to think clearly as to what I want to do. So obviously this is a great show for me, even having said that. So we were going to get into leading us in a meditation now so that we can experience it and know what we have to do if we want to do it in privacy of our own home.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. And we'll just do something really simple, because there may be people who are advanced meditators listening in, or there may be people that have never done this before, and I want it to be accessible to everybody. So we'll just do something nice and easy and simple.
Go ahead and start whenever you'd like.
Okay, I was just going to say, are we ready? Okay, great. So anyone listening in, if you'd like to participate in the meditation, if you've been sitting in the same position for the last little while Lloyd and I have been chatting, I invite you to shift your body, even in a small way, whatever's comfortable for you, so that you just kind of renew your energetic presence in this space right now. And then when you're ready, just go ahead and let your body gently come to focus on your breathing right now. In this moment, there's nothing else you need to be doing, nowhere else you need to be, but just gently focused on your breathing right now. And as you feel your focus, really, really relax, and you feel your body, all tension, all anxiety, anything that blocks you from relaxation is just melting out of your body in this moment. You feel the chair holding you up. There's no effort at all that you need to exude. And as your body relaxes, you may even start to notice that your mind is relaxing. Your thoughts are becoming fewer and further between. And you're just settling into this nice, comfortable, warm place of total relaxation. And with the focus that you're holding on your breathing, I invite you to just identify a feeling, maybe a word or a small, short mantra, just a couple words, little phrase, that identify with you right now. It may be something like, I breathe in peace. Or it could be, I feel happy and relaxed. Or it could be, I'm optimistic about the way this day is going. Something simple that just embodies what you'd most like to be breathing into every cell of your body right now. And then as you physically inhale, just say that mantra in your mind or feel the essence of that word or phrase in your body. And as you exhale, just gently release anything you no longer need to hang on to. You don't even have to identify it. You can just simply understand that on your exhale, you are releasing anything you no longer need. And just let yourself have another few breaths, breathing in that which you want to infuse your body with, and then exhaling anything you no longer need. Just at your own pace, gently breathing in And then easily releasing on your exhale. And let's just do one more. Deep breath in, which you want to anchor into the cells of your body. And then imagining on your exhale, you're releasing anything your body no longer needs. And as you feel your body relaxing and settling into this place of peace, just know that you can bring this peacefulness with you throughout the day, and you can stop at any time and reconnect to this feeling you're feeling right now whenever you need to. When you're ready, just go ahead and release your attention from the meditation and bring it back into the room you're in this moment. And that's it.
And so it's just a matter of letting yourself relax to a point and concentrate on getting rid of all the negative energy in your body.
Yeah, just releasing it easily, knowing that as you relax to release it, it will leave. It will leave if you give it permission to leave, you know? And you can infuse anything that you want to, whether it's peace or happiness or the ideal body or a greater relationship or increased wealth, whatever you want to infuse into your life, you can breathe in and then release whatever might be blocking.
Right. Now, let's say, you know, in your crazy schedule, in my crazy schedule, we can't find 3 minutes a day, three times a day to do this. How does that work if we want to really do it? I mean, we need to find the time. Is that correct?
I know. Well, here's the thing is that when we're looking at it as, oh, my gosh, another thing to put into my day, are you kidding me? I don't even have time to eat lunch during the day. When am I going to find time to go hide in my car and do a three-minute meditation? What, you think my boss is going to let me just run out the door whenever I need to calm myself down? Like, I understand, and I know there's busy parents out there and busy workers out there, and it is. It's absolutely a valid challenge to be able to find this time during our days. So what I would encourage for you is in the same way that what we focus on tends to show up in our experience. Like, for example, Lloyd, if you and I were sitting outside watching the cars go along the street and I said, you know, in the next 10, 20 seconds, tell me how many red cars you see go by. And then as you're watching the red cars go by and you're counting them, and then I, you know, the 10, 20 seconds is up, and I say, okay, how many white SUVs did you see? Hello, you were asking me to count red cars. I wasn't even focused on the white SUVs. I have no idea how many went by. That's what happens when we focus on, I can't do this, I'm not going to be able to do this. All we see is evidence that backs up that we can't do this. So my suggestion is to shift the way that you think about it. Instead of focusing on, oh, my gosh, where am I going to fit this in? This is going to be really hard to do. Open it up a little bit, loosen up that belief, loosen up that stuckness a little bit, and just wonder within yourself, you know what, if this is a meditation practice that resonates with me, I bet there are more opportunities to take advantage of than I might even be seeing right now. And I'm just open and curious to recognizing if there's an opportunity during the day, I'm open to recognizing it and taking advantage of it. Like, I'm open and I'm curious. You see how that's different from this, like, constriction of, oh, my gosh, where am I going to fit it in? You move into more of an expanded feeling about it, a relaxation, a curiosity, an optimism rather than a pessimism. You move into the optimism. Then you start to recognize opportunities that the other mindset would have prevented you from seeing. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Now, which leads me to another question. How is meditation practical in creating transformation? I mean, I understand about transformation. If you want to change and you consciously make an effort to change, you will. I understand that. But how does the meditation practice create the transformation?
It's such a great question. The reason I love this question is because I think that, and this is what I believe, this is why when I was first instructed to meditate, I looked at her like, this is not practical. This is, okay, that'll be nice when I get happy, but I've got to get happy first. Like, this does not make sense for me to be doing this happy, la-la, fakey-fakey, nicey-nicey practice you know, floating or something. Like, this does not seem practical. So I understand where that question comes from. What I have learned is that meditation is actually the most practical way to be able to create transformation. And I understand that because of neuroscientists and cell biologists and doctors and chiropractors and people that have an understanding of how the thoughts physically impact our world. Like, for example, we may have a belief that, you know, my mom never made more than $50,000 a year. My dad never made more than $50,000 a year. I believe I would probably never make more than $50,000 a year. And we unintentionally and subconsciously put a glass ceiling on our experience. And because we have that kind of expectation, we wire the way that we act, the decisions that we make, the things we spend our money on, the things we invest in, so that it ends up to support the belief that we hold. And it's the same thing could be with our body. Like, I've had this extra weight on my body for 25 years. I've had three kids. There's no way I'm going to ever lose this. I'm over 50 now. I'm too, you know, like, we have this whole conversation about our beliefs about it. Well, what you believe generally becomes your reality. If you don't think you can do something, probably you're not going to be able to do it. If you become curious about it, maybe you could do it. It's as simple as, you know, I've seen these, I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, what studies, but something, there's an image coming to mind of people that, you know, like test subjects, they'll put these like probes on their brain, those little wires and suction cups and stuff, like they're measuring brain waves, right?
Right.
And so people that are in a study with might be measuring the brain waves, and they're shown images. They're sitting in a screen, and they're shown an image. And one might be of a beautiful lake, and one might be of a loving relationship between a parent and a child, and one might be a big, hairy spider. And if that person has a fear of spiders, their brain waves are going to go wacko at that point, and they're probably going to have a physical reaction. Now, that spider is not real. It's not a real spider, and every person in that room, if other people don't have a spider phobia, they probably won't have that same reaction. We respond physically, mentally, and emotionally to our perception of outside stimulus. If we can change our perceptions of it, for example, if that person who reacted negatively towards the spider were to change the mindset and do some work on, you know, meditation work or another healing modality to be able to heal from that phobia, start having a physical, visceral, practical, different reaction when they would see a spider in their real life. So I know that that example might not exactly tie in, but do you see what I'm saying? It's like when we change our perception of what's going on, our body's reaction to it changes, and we start having a different relationship with our exterior world. When we lift that glass ceiling about how much we might be able to make in our lives, and we're doing it subconsciously. It's just like, this makes sense. My mom made this money. My dad made this money. My job pays me this. Therefore, I've decided I probably won't make more than this. Well, that's us looking for the red cars going by. If we open up our minds and say, I wonder what else is possible, then we can start seeing other opportunities. So in order to, especially with weight loss or body issues or whatever, I always encourage people, you don't want to be, quote, unquote, motivated through your life. You don't want to be gritting your teeth and using willpower and depriving yourself to stay on a diet or a cleanse or something that feels like you're deprived with it. You know, you don't want to be gritting your teeth through life. You want to get to the point where inside of yourself you feel inspired to eat healthier. You feel inspired to go to the gym. You feel inspired. It's like there's nothing I'd like more than to go to my yoga class right now or to go to my gym right now or to have a salad right now. Like you're not having an internal battle with it. It sets you up for then like a binge or a craving or whatever. You do the mindset work so that the outside, you see how that sets you up for a success rather than battling these beliefs you're holding. You can do this internal work using the meditation practice or using other healing modalities to be able to change the way that you look at stuff, the way that you shift stuff. I mean, that's how I was able to lose weight. I didn't do it anything with deprivation, and it may have looked to outside people that I was like counting calories or counting carbs or whatever. I wasn't. I was tuning into the needs of the cells in my body, honoring that, and eating became a deeply satisfying mindful experience for me, and I wouldn't have gone back if I could have. I wouldn't have pigged out like I used to if I could have. It just became something I came to prefer. I was inspired on the inside rather than gritting my teeth my way through it. So that's how the mindset is practical in creating results in your life. I mean, does that make sense? Does that resonate?
It does resonate. Okay. I'm one of those people who believes in the, you know, someone comes to you and says, what are you trying to do? You'll never do that. And I'm the kind of person who says, don't ever tell me I can't do something because I will succeed at it. It's the last thing on the face of the earth I do. I will succeed at it. Don't tell me I won't.
Yeah, because you know that it's in your mindset. If you believed you couldn't succeed and you gave up, that would be because of your belief and your own, you know, internal gumption. It's not because that person told you that. It's because you believed what they said. It's your perception
right.
of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in my previous life, before I got healthy, that's how exactly I thought. If someone told me I couldn't do it, okay, fine, I can't do it, and I just go about my business. Now it's like, don't ever tell me I can't do it. Because that's the more determination than you telling me that I could do it. So.
Yep, I totally get that.
Now, I understand, how can my thoughts possibly create my reality? I mean, when you meditate, you're thinking these positive thoughts. Does your brain have a section in it that it keeps this positive stuff and gets rid of the negative stuff so your thoughts stay the way you want them to be?
Yeah, I have an analogy for this. It's going to take me a couple minutes to explain. If we need a cut to break first, that's okay, or should I just go?
No, let's go to break. This is our last break for the afternoon, and you can explain it when you get back on the other side.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay? All right. We'll be right back.
The Lesson Plan, a guide for mothers and teenage daughters. Are you connected? Do you understand each other? As a mother, do you want to redefine your position as a parent? Reestablish lost relationships? Strengthen your existing relationships? Be the role model your daughter needs? If you want a better relationship with your daughter, read The Lesson Plan, written by Gwen Gassard, educator, author, and radio host of Making Life Easy. To order your copy today, go to GwenGassard.net.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Friday. We're here with Dina Proctor, who is an author and a creator of a meditation called 3x3, which is 3 minutes a day, three times a day, to help you through your life. We were just talking about how meditation changes your thoughts into reality. And go ahead, Dina, tell us how meditation can possibly change your thoughts into reality.
Okay, I'm going to explain my best understanding of it. And, of course, I'm not a neurobiologist or neuroscientist or whatever, but I have interviewed enough of them to kind of have an understanding of it. And you can always, you know, research different people kind of on your own. But basically, my understanding of it is that when we have a thought, there's always an emotion associated with a thought, okay? So even if the thought is, oh, my gosh, I'm late, the emotion is one of constriction. You can always feel, your emotions can always be felt in the body, and they feel one of two ways. If you're feeling constricted, it feels, you know, the emotion of doubt or fear or, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to get it done, or overwhelm. Everything from mild frustration all the way to suicidal depression feels constricted in the body. Do you understand what I'm, like, your shoulders feel tense, you may have a knot in your stomach, that sort of thing. Now, and every thought is associated with an emotion, which is then, again, associated with a feeling in the body. Now, if you have a positive thought of, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to see, you know, my kids this weekend, or I'm really excited for this dinner party on Friday night or this baby shower on Saturday afternoon, and I'm looking forward to something, and I just rocked that presentation at work, and I'm so proud of my kids, and all of these emotions are on the positive scale. Or even if you're thinking, like, I've been stuck in this for so long, but now I'm feeling hopeful, and you feel a feeling of, like, relief or optimism or, you know, the sun breaking through the clouds kind of feeling. All of those feel expanded in your body. You can feel your shoulders relaxing, your ability to breathe more deeply, that knot in your stomach releasing, that sort of thing. So when you're thinking positive thoughts, that translates into positive emotion, which translates physically as a feeling of expansion in the body. So that's how thoughts can be felt physically in our body. And so when we feel something physically in our body, the cells, the hormone levels, everything is being affected. Our brain manages all of that. So it's worth our while to at least start pointing our minds in more positive directions, because how do you think that your healing is going to take place? Do you believe, like, does it make sense that a body that is usually in anxiety, tension, and constriction would be most prone to healing? Probably not. It's worth taking the time to relax the thoughts, which in turn relax the emotion, which in turn relax the body, to turn it into more of a place that healing can take place. You know, you're feeling more relaxed. Body processes are flowing. You're not holding on to anything. It's able to process and release better. So that's how our thoughts kind of manifest physically. And that can be anything from, even if you're thinking about your finances, or even if you're thinking about something that doesn't involve your body, your relationship. If you're feeling constricted about your relationship, that vibe, like dogs can smell fear, right? Or you've seen probably little kids, and one teacher will give them an exact instruction, and the parent will give them the exact same instruction, and the kid will react differently to each person. Now, why is that? They've given them the exact same instruction. They're standing in the same attitude or demeanor or whatever. The thing is, it's they're picking up on our vibes. We have a vibe that we're exuding, whether we realize it or not. Like, I'm sure you've had an experience where, you know, like, you've walked into a restaurant and just thought, you know, not feeling it. It's just not vibing with me. Like, there's nothing that physically looks wrong. Like, the artwork's nice, music's fine. I'm just not feeling it. You know, like, we have this ability to feel kind of the, I'm using the word vibe, like the vibes that are going on. Or we walk into a restaurant, we think, gosh, this feels good. Or this person I'm meeting for lunch, I resonate with them. They feel good. We're picking up on something that's not nonverbal or even not really recognized with the five senses. We're picking up on a vibrational stance that people are holding, or that even a restaurant is holding, or that a financial thing is holding. That's the feeling of intuition is guiding us on that kind of, I'm calling it sixth sense, like on that sixth sense kind of level. There's always something we can tune into there. And so when we're tuned in on that sixth sense level and recognizing the deeper energies below, like what matches with me, what doesn't match with me, and if things don't match with me, what thoughts can I think to make myself feel better about it, or just at least loosen up the negativity so I can feel a bit of relief, I can relax a little bit, I can release a little bit of stress and tension. Because the more relaxed and optimistic you can feel in your body, the better your life is going to go. You know, like, I'm sure you've had days where when you wake up out of bed, and maybe you bang your knee on the table because you haven't had your coffee yet, you're half asleep, and then you get a negative thought. And then that negative thought creates another. It's like this little magnet tornado thing. And it keeps going, and then you're late to work, and then you rear-ended somebody, and then it's like, oh, my gosh, can this day just be over? All this stuff. It's like we then are having this magnet, like this vibration, where we are tending to attract these kind of negative experiences. Same thing with the positive. It's like, oh, my gosh, I got invited to interview with this person, and I'm so excited about it. I never thought it would happen. And guess what? I won $500 in the lottery ticket. And so it's the same thing with positive. The positive can tend to spiral too. And so that's where it's like this non-physical, this almost sixth sense thing, this vibrational essence that's underlying absolutely everything, but most of us are not conscious of. When we start to tune into that, that's where we have power to change whatever we want to change in our current and present reality.
So that you just described my whole week, starting Monday and ending today. I got. I'll end the interview on this note. I got up this morning. I mean, I got up on Monday morning, 4 days ago. I got up, and I forgot to put a belt on when I got dressed. So then Tuesday came along, and something else happened. I can't remember exactly what it was, but something happened. Wednesday was my best day. Today I went to the bank to make my deposit for work, and got halfway back to my office and found out that I forgot to actually take money out of my own account so I could pay my rent, which is due tomorrow. So I understand where you're coming from. That hit and resonated well with me in terms of this week. But generally speaking, my weeks are pretty positive. I have a pretty positive outlook on life ever since I got well, which is pretty good because before I got well, every day was a negative day. I didn't know what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be, who I wanted to be with. And now it's just like I can't be around negative people. So I understand exactly what you meant when you answered that last question.
So, good. Good.
Let me give you the last word on meditation and 3x3 and tell people, you know, if there's people out there that have listened today that are interested or people that are going to listen on the taped version, if they're interested in doing it or getting in touch with you, I know you're a little bit of a distance from where I am, but you have a whole slew of people where you live that may be interested in it and may be listening to the show today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I live in L.A. area, but I love coaching. I love connecting with people. And I've coached people all over the world that I've never even met. So with technology these days, there's very little barriers. But, you know, and I do my own podcasts. I speak it at events and groups and workshops and retreats and stuff. Like, I just love it. I just love it. And my book, anyway, all of this information is all on my website, which is the same as my book title. It's madlychasingpeace.com.
Dina, it's been a pleasure for the last hour to share your creation with you and your book with you, and good luck to you in your venture.
Thank you, and I wish you the best too, Lloyd. This has really been awesome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You'll probably hear from me again, that's for sure.
I'd love it. Awesome.
All right. You have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
All righty. That was Dina Proctor. She is an author. She's a coach. And she is the creator of a meditation practice called 3x3, which is three times a day for 3 minutes at a time. It's a very short and structured meditation, so you can do it for a very short time, get it over with, and feel better about yourself. I know I personally meditate myself, so I know I feel like $1 million when I'm done with it and wish I could stay doing it because once you get back into the real world, sometimes you need that meditation to help you get through the rest of your day. For Friday afternoon, which it is here in New Jersey, I don't know where everybody is listening from, but it is Friday afternoons. I want to say have a great weekend for the people in the Northeast. Be safe. And we will see you next week, same time, with another guest talking about life's issues and helping to change somebody's life one person at a time. And like I say every week, you may be one person in this world, but you're the world to one person possibly. So just keep a positive outlook on life and look at your fellow person, a fellow man, woman, and see what you can do to change their lives for the better. Until then, take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.